booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Wednesday, September 9th. I've already screwed this whole thing up. I'm Juliet Huddy. Hi, Frank. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you, Juliet. It's good to see you.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you and Rachel as well.
Thank you very much.
You've done a great job here at WABC. I'm proud of you.
I've certainly done a great job being married for a year. As you know, that can be quite a challenge.
Yes, I do. Well, first of all, we've got a little bit of a change here. You may notice some things, so just don't freak out. Let's first, though, get to Deb Valentine. She's up in 3 minutes with what's trending in New York. But first, here are the top five at five.
This is the top five at five.
The country's top military men were grilled by the Senate Armed Forces Committee Tuesday, the first time the Pentagon heads have publicly testified since the controversial Afghan withdrawal. General Mark Milley admits the U.S.'s credibility has been damaged by President Biden's hasty exit. In fact, the Joint Chiefs boss says he and other leaders did tell the president to keep several thousand troops in Kabul, but were ignored. As to the now famous call to China, infamous, I guess you could say, reported on the Bob Woodward Brook peril, which claimed he went behind then President Trump's back to warn China that we weren't about to attack.
The specific purpose of the October and January calls were generated by concerning intelligence, which caused us to believe the Chinese were worried about an attack on them by the United States. I am certain that President Trump did not intend to attack the Chinese, and it is my directed responsibility, and it was my directed responsibility by the Secretary to convey that intent to the Chinese. My task at that time was to de-escalate. My message again was consistent. Stay calm, steady, and de-escalate. We are not going.
Milley says, by the way, he never tried to influence the process or usurp authority, Frank.
Air Force One will stay in the hangar Wednesday as President Biden sticks around Washington, D.C. to help push his big-ticket items through Capitol Hill. The chief executive's trip to Chicago was canceled so that he could continue leading talks over his legislative agenda. Democrats have been negotiating this massive reconciliation bill as well as the bipartisan infrastructure package, a possible government shutdown and credit default both loom if lawmakers don't take action.
I'll pay. I'm rich. Speaking of, that's the gist from Barack Obama's interview on GMA Tuesday morning with Robin Roberts. The two are discussing President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending bill, which he says he backs, and the former president's willing to put his money where his mouth is. He thinks America's wealthiest should fork over. Listen.
In essence,
I think that they can afford it. We can afford it. I put myself in this category now. And I think anybody who pretends that it's a hardship for billionaires to pay taxes so that a single mom gets child care support or so that we can make sure that our communities aren't inundated by wildfires and floods and that we're doing something about climate change for the next generation, you know, that's an argument that is unsustainable.
One Democratic senator is adamantly opposed to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell getting another term. Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts blasted Powell yesterday, saying she has grave concern over his record. She went on to describe Powell as a dangerous man, that's a quote, as she accused him of making the banking system less safe. Powell's term as Fed chair expires in February. He's led the central bank since early 2018.
The dog is hot on the trail. TV's infamous Dog the Bounty Hunter, a.k.a. Dwayne Chapman, claims that he has video showing Brian Laundry and his parents arriving at a Florida campsite just days after Laundry's girlfriend, Gabby Petito, went missing. Chapman says the family visited the site near St. Petersburg, Florida, twice in early September. Laundry himself was reported missing on September 17th. Listen.
This kid is an outdoorsman, so I think he went to, again, where he's comfortable.
Dog says three people went into that park the second time and only two left. And those are your top five at five. Coming up in this half hour, thumbs up for Yanks and Mets. Apparently, Matt Sapienza has the details. And we're going to go back in time a little bit. We're going to hear how scientists now know what three mummies actually looked like back in the day, thanks to DNA testing. And how the rich and powerful watched gladiator games. That's coming up in your history hit at 520. But first, Deb Valentine's here with What's Trending New York.
All right. Good morning, Juliet and Frank. We had a shooting on the Upper West Side last night. Now, two people were hurt here when gunfire erupted about 8:40. This happened right in front of 589 Amsterdam Avenue and 89th Street. Now, the gunman's weapon was found underneath this woman's parked vehicle. She was left shaken off.
It's pretty scary because I have children and, you know, I live in the neighborhood. And in less than a half an hour, there were two shootings. There was a robbery. And now now my car is a crime scene.
So cops say a 27-year-old man was shot in his chest. A 40-year-old woman is shot in the hand. Both expected to be okay. The gunman's at large this morning, not knowing what sparked all this violence. And yesterday, the family of Gabby Petito spoke out. The Long Island native, of course, the victim of a homicide. Petito's family has implored the public and news media to put the same energy into finding other missing people. The 22-year-old found dead in Grand Teton National Park during a cross-country trip with her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. He remains missing, and an arrest warrant has been issued for him. Now, there was an emotional press conference by the Petito family and their attorney yesterday. The parents are Joe Petito and Nicole Schmidt. They revealed Gabby-inspired tattoos designed by their late daughter, the victim of a homicide. And they spoke during yesterday's press conference. Also, their attorney, family lawyer, Richard Stafford, says anybody with information about Laundrie's whereabouts is asked to come forward.
We welcome everybody's help to find him. And if you have any information, we're asking that you call the FBI tip line or your local police department.
So the Gabby Petito Foundation is being established, designed to provide resources and guidance to other families also searching for their children. Juliet, back to you.
What's trending?
Yes, here is what's trending around the nation. The president's got a lot of heat on him. A new poll is out. Shows just 45% of Americans have a fair amount of trust in him when it comes to COVID. 53% say they have not very much trust or none at all. The biggest plummet comes from folks like me, the independents. Pretty major drop since January when he took office on a high. Back then, 58% of Americans felt he was going to be able to give us accurate COVID information. And you can now vote from the comfort of wherever you want, really, at least if you're a Californian. Governor Gavin Newsom made universal mail-in voting permanent this week. California has the most registered voters and has voted for a Democrat in every presidential election since the early 90s. And a Texas man has been put to death. Rick Rhodes was executed by lethal injection Tuesday at the state penitentiary in Huntsville. And an update now on the Amtrak crash. Federal investigators looking into the Saturday derailment in Montana say the train was actually traveling under the speed limit when it flew off a curve. Empire Builder was headed west from Chicago to Seattle when it flipped. More than 50 people were injured, three killed, including a newlywed couple. A newlywed, and then also a couple, guy traveling with his wife. They were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Frank.
Well, here's what's trending around the world. One of boxing's greatest is stepping away from the ring. Manny Pacquiao announced his retirement yesterday in a 15-minute video posted on his social media. Pacquiao closes his career with a 62-8-2 record, winning 39 of those fights by knockout. He's a sitting senator in the Philippines, and he announced this week that he's running for president in 2022. And after more than a decade, the original Law and Order will be returning to NBC. The iconic show that ran for 20 seasons will be coming back after being off the air since 2010. It will return with a classic format that explores the police who investigate the crimes and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. Krispy Kreme is announcing a new confection on its menu. Donut fans can now get their hands on cinnamon rolls at Krispy Kreme locations. They'll be available through October 10th. And finally, hundreds of employees could be sent packing after the vaccine requirement deadline for United Airlines passed. In a memo to staff, leaders of the Chicago-based carrier said about 600 employees face being laid off for not complying with the mandate. But the company noted workers will get another shot during the termination process if they decide to roll up their sleeves. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Well, you know, we're going to get to entertainment a little bit later on, but WABC News Time is 5:11. Frank?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming up in the Frankly Politics segment. One mayoral candidate was a stone's throw away from gunfire yesterday. We'll tell you who it was. But there are some other headlines that I think are going to be grabbing your attention, including the fact that Tesla CEO Elon Musk says the federal government should keep their hands out of crypto. At the Code conference in California, Musk said that while he doesn't think governments can destroy crypto, he believes it is possible for governments to slow down its advanced placement. When asked if the government should be involved in regulating digital currency, Musk said they should do nothing. Senator Bernie Sanders is calling on House members to vote down the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He tweeted that yesterday that the measure should be put off until what's known as a reconciliation bill has been approved. And then finally, Governor Andrew Cuomo is out fishing with his dog. The ex-governor posted photos with his dog Captain on a small boat to his Instagram account with the caption, "The fall bass is coming and Captain is ready."
And a heartbreaking story out of the Midwest. A Michigan couple who were both fully vaccinated have died. 59-year-old Cal Dunham and his 66-year-old wife, Linda, both had underlying health issues and were considered high risk, but sadly, they caught COVID earlier this month. They both ended up in the hospital at the same time, and when things looked grim, they were moved next to each other so they could hold hands, dying within just 1 minute of each other. And get ready, mom and dad, you'll soon likely be making a decision as to whether you want your kids vaccinated. As expected, Pfizer has submitted its data to the FDA when it comes to vaccinating kids between 5 and 11. The company will make a formal request for emergency use authorization in a few weeks, meaning your kids may be able to get their jab by Halloween. And a disturbing warning for new parents and those with kids on the way or that are thinking about having them. A study is out. It's out of Imperial College in London, and it found that kids born in 2021 will live through 7 times as many heat waves, twice as many wildfires, and nearly 3 times as many droughts as their grandparents. Children in Africa will suffer the worst. One author says bluntly, children suffering unprecedented numbers of climate extremes is a direct result of the actions and inactions of today's adults. And just a little bit of entertainment news. The mansion where JFK and Marilyn supposedly had an affair is on the market. He rented it for roughly 10 years. And yes, he had many celebrity house guests, but perhaps none so infamous as the married president and his troubled blonde bombshell. If you'd like to score your own piece of Sinatra history or Rat Pack or presidential history, it can be yours, this house, for $21 million. Also, Jason Aldean's wife, the country star, Brittany, is making her feelings crystal clear when it comes to her political leanings. The 33-year-old posted a photo on Instagram showing the couple sitting together with her wearing a T-shirt reading Anti-Biden Social Club. The couple's toddlers were also outfitted in similar garb.
All right.
And yes, one more story. Rebel Wilson made a splash as a sassy, Rubenesque, shall we say, comic on screen. But it's her antics behind the scenes that are getting the attention now. The 41-year-old was recently seen vacationing on Marlon Brando's private island in French Polynesia, looking quite svelte. The actress has lost 70 pounds, nearly 70 pounds, and was clearly enjoying her new bod, wearing a bright red swimsuit with a plunging neckline. Frank?
5:15. Not a bad day for New York's baseball teams. Here to tell you all about it is Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. Not a bad day for baseball at all. Giancarlo Stanton hit a 3-run home run. Aaron Judge homered and drove in 2 runs. And the Yankees extended their lead atop the AL wildcard standings by beating the Toronto Blue Jays 7-2. Gio Urshela added a solo homer, and Anthony Rizzo had a pair of hits and drove in a run as New York won its 7th straight and moved 2 games in front of Boston in the wildcard race after the Red Sox lost 4-2 at Baltimore. Toronto dropped their 3 games. games behind the Yankees, but remains a game behind Boston for the second wild card. Stanton becomes the first Yankees player with 13 or more RBIs in a four-game span in September since Paul O'Neill did it in 1999. It's also the most RBIs in any four-game span for Stanton in his 12-year career. Over to Queens now, Noah Syndergaard looked sharp in his brief but long-awaited return from Tommy John surgery, and the Mets beat the Miami Marlins 2-1 in 9 innings for a doubleheader sweep. Javier Baez dashed home from third base with a winning run in extra innings as reliever Anthony Bass fumbled James McCann's slow bouncer. In the opener, Francisco Lindor homered and drove in 3 runs to help the Mets stop a 5-game losing streak with a 5-2 victory. Syndergaard started the nightcap for the New York, firing his first major league pitch in 2 years and then completing a delayed comeback. He struck out his first two batters in a perfect timing, throwing 9 of 10 pitches for strikes. With sports at 15 and 45, Matt Sapienza here, and that's WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano. And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Yes, welcome back. I'm Juliet Huddy. WABC News time is 5:19, and it is time for your History Hit. We're going to do this every day. Well, we may do a history hit, maybe do a royal alert, but 520 is going to be your special segment. And we now know what 3 Egyptian mummies looked like in real life. This is fascinating. Scientists used genetic data taken from their mummified bodies to patch together what they believe are likenesses of the men's faces. Experts say their genetic makeup was actually closer to modern Europeans than present-day Egyptians. Frank, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah, even though they were found in an ancient city just south of Cairo, archaeologists say they are roughly 2,500 years old, and since they were found in simple painted wood coffins, they weren't pharaohs or part of the elite, but just instead were probably regular Joes. And speaking of elite, it turns out the VIP treatment that has been handed out to people has been handed out since the dawn of man, or at least for roughly 1,800 years. Archaeologists excavating the site in Turkey, a site that was once an amphitheater in Turkey, have made a wild discovery. The best seats were actually box seats that featured engraved names, much like those at arenas and stadiums around the world today. This particular theater was within the ancient Greek city of Pergamon, but it's in Italy. It was considered part of Greece at that time. It could seat up to 50,000 people, and it was modeled after the Colosseum in Rome. In fact, the team doing the digging says most of the names are Italian. It could be a Murano. You don't know.
Could be. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, wouldn't it? And that was your history hit for today. WABC News time is 5:21. Do you want to get back to some headlines, Frank?
Absolutely, and quite a bit happening in the news, including the fact that 2 top military leaders say they recommended leaving 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley and General Kenneth McKenna hearing yesterday. That contradicts what President Biden said during an ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos back in August.
And the upcoming tell-all by a former White House press secretary, leaving no stone unturned and apparently no one safe. Stephanie Grisham's book, I'll Take Your Questions Now, which is a play, as you pointed out, on the fact that she's the only press secretary in history who never held a press briefing, is set for release October 5th. And it's already promising not to win her any new Trump fans. I can assure you of that. She describes the former president's temper as terrifying. She also says every staffer wore out their welcome with him eventually. She claims that aides and others referred to Ivanka as princess. Oh, how original. Including the first lady. She, by the way, issued a statement saying Grisham's book was meant to redeem herself after a poor performance as press secretary, failed personal relationships, and unprofessional behavior in the White House. How they turn on each other.
The clock is ticking for hundreds of thousands of federal workers at risk of losing their job. If Congress doesn't agree on funding, they'll be furloughed as of midnight tomorrow. That means the government will shut down on Friday, but all essential services will keep running.
All right, we've got a soundbite coming up. Matt, stand by. The ex-wife of R&B star R. Kelly speaking out. Drea Kelly says she is heartbroken for her kids now that her former husband has officially been convicted of multiple crimes, including racketeering and sex trafficking. He faces up to 100 years in prison. You know, she says, look, I'm not only his ex, I was a victim too, but my heart's breaking.
My heart breaks as a mother because this is now the legacy that my children will have to deal with and their children's children. At the end of the day, you cannot walk away from your bloodline.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rough to hear. I mean, you think you don't want any sympathy for this guy, but by the same token, you do feel sympathy for the people who are related to him.
Oh, that's for sure. Arizona's new abortion law begins today, but only part of it. A federal judge blocked a ban based on genetic conditions last night. That means women can still end their pregnancy if diagnosed with such things as Down syndrome or cystic fibrosis.
Well, they are rich, they are balding, and now they are teaming up. Prince William, the future King of Britain, and the former, I guess you could say, former King of New York, ex-Mayor Mike Bloomberg, are joining forces in a bid to raise awareness for the fight against climate change. The duo co-authored a piece for USA Today promoting the Earthshot Prize, which is going to be given to five winners each year who somehow come up with solutions to help the environment. It'll be given annually. From now until 2030 by the Royal Foundation, which is the charity supporting the works of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, otherwise known as Prince William, and his wife, Kate Middleton.
A federal court is denying Dylan Roof's most recent appeal attempt. He will not get to challenge his conviction in the deaths of nine people in a South Carolina church in 2015. Roof's lawyers argued he shouldn't have been allowed to represent himself during sentencing.
And Qatar Airways is the cuck of the walk, as they say, when it comes to airlines. The company has been named number one out of 350 airlines, also managing to garner top prize for best business class. Singapore Airlines comes in second place, snagging best first class and best crew. And France, Air France, gets top honor for European airlines. Delta, as usual, ranks number one for U.S. airlines. And by the way, another airline story, United says it only has around 600 staffers facing being fired after refusing to get vaccinated by the September 27th deadline. Another 2,000, the company says, are asking for religious exemptions.
And it's a big day for pop star Britney Spears. She'll be in court for a hearing to remove her father as conservator and possibly talk about ending the legal guardianship altogether. Her lawyer filed a motion to remove her dad no later than today, and her father is not expected to contest the motion.
Researchers have gathered some more data on long COVID symptoms, and they found that it hits these long COVID symptoms more than a third of all COVID sufferers with at least one symptom. And actually, the interesting thing is that anxiety or depression is the most common symptom for these long haulers.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Juliet Huddy. WABC News time is just about 5:31. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, the final part of my series on the best cities in the world, from number five down to number one. But first, a recap of our top five at five. Starting at number one, the country's top military men were grilled by the Senate Armed Services Committee Tuesday. It's the first time the Pentagon heads have publicly testified since the controversial Afghan withdrawal. General Mark Milley admitted that the U.S. credibility has been damaged by President Biden's hasty exit. In fact, the Joint Chiefs boss says that he and other leaders did tell the president to keep several thousand troops in Kabul, but were ignored.
Air Force One will stay in the hangar today as President Biden sticks around Washington to help push his big-ticket items through Capitol Hill. The chief executive's trip to Chicago was canceled so he could continue leading talks over his legislative agenda. Democrats have been negotiating this massive reconciliation bill as well as the bipartisan infrastructure package. A possible government shutdown and credit default both loom if lawmakers don't take action.
and I'll pay. I'm rich. That's the gist from Barack Obama's interview on Good Morning America Tuesday with Robin Roberts. The two were discussing President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending bill, which he says, well, Obama says that he backs. And the former president is willing to put his money where his mouth is. He says he thinks America's wealthiest should fork over a few more percentage points to help those less fortunate. He said, I think they can afford it. We can afford it. And he says he puts himself in that category. He also says the argument that it's a hardship for billionaires to pay a little more to help the single mom or rebuild a much needed bridge is, quote, unsustainable.
One Democratic senator is adamantly opposed to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell getting another term. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts blasted Powell yesterday, saying she has grave concern over his record. She went on to describe Powell as a dangerous man as she accused him of making the banking system less safe. Powell's term as Fed chair expires in February. He has led the central bank since early 2018.
And the dog is hot on the trail. The TV infamous bounty hunter, Dog the Bounty Hunter, a.k.a. Dwayne Chapman, claims that he has a video showing Brian Laundrie and his parents arriving at a Florida campsite just days after Laundrie's girlfriend, Gabby Petito, went missing. Chapman says the family visited the site near St. Petersburg, Florida, twice in early September. Laundrie himself was reported missing on September 17th. Dog says the kid is an outdoorsman and he's probably headed to someplace outdoors. He says three people went into that park the second time and only two left. And those are your top five at 5:30.
Here's what's happening on Wall Street. Wall Street.
Buzz.
If you haven't noticed, guys, we're trying some new stuff out. We need to just get on top of it a little bit better. We're trying to get used to the sound coming in.
Wall Street is awash in red at yesterday's close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped nearly 570 points, while the NASDAQ lost 2.8% for its worst day since March. All three major indexes plunge as rising bond yields triggered a massive sell-off. The Dow Jones Industrial lost 569 points. The S&P 500 fell 90 points. And the NASDAQ plunged 423 points. Inflation fears and the budget stalemate in Washington rattled investors. Tech shares got hammered with Facebook, Alphabet, and Amazon down more than 3%. Stocks extended losses after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen urged lawmakers to act quickly to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a government shutdown. She warned Congress that could do serious harm to the economy. And finally, the U.S. Postal Service is warning customers about temporary delays as it implements new operating practices. Starting Friday, the spokeswoman Kim Frum said new standards will impact first-class mail and periodicals. Frum says the changes will result in longer transit times for cross-country and other long-distance deliveries.
And now, Frankly Politics.
Well, we're all familiar with former WABC talk show host Curtis Sliwa, who now happens to be the Republican and Independent Party nominee for mayor. And yesterday, Curtis Sliwa took cover during a shooting near his Upper West Side apartment. The GOP nominee slammed the lax law enforcement policies of Mayor de Blasio after two more people were shot outside a housing complex at 8:40. Curtis was quoted as saying, "De Blasio is doing puff, puff, pass with Shirlane McRae on the back porch of Gracie Mansion smoking the Maui Wowie and Hindu Kush." Here's a bit of Curtis Sliwa.
Side which never before had these problems, even in the 70s and 80s.
A 27-year-old man and a 40-year-old woman were injured in the shooting near Amsterdam Avenue and West 89th Street. Both were expected to survive. As you see the images in today's New York Post of Curtis actually hiding underneath, or taking cover, I should say, underneath a vehicle. And I think Curtis was indicating that this underscores what a problem crime is in the city and will be as an issue in the upcoming mayoral election.
So he was actually on the street when this started happening?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right.
Does he have video of it?
He was under the car during the video that you just heard.
So that was when he was under the car?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. I mean, yeah, you know, I used to go to a restaurant up there. It used to be a great little Mexican on Amsterdam between 87th and 88th. And I was there pretty much, I mean, every weekend for the, I guess, 2 years. That was a completely safe area.
No, you're exactly right. And as Curtis pointed out in a tweet, and people could see the video, there were three total gun crimes on the Upper West Side last night, just three blocks from where Curtis and his wife Nancy live. And it's not only a safe area, it's a very expensive area. And it's if you're seeing shootings there, it's certainly, you realize no part of Manhattan is safe.
What are they thinking it is? Did it come from the housing projects?
The NYPD has not said, from what I can tell, but I expect we'll hear an update on this at some point today.
It is now 5:39, time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Yes, we've got, this is actually my final installment in my series on the best cities in the world. Every year, bestcities.org comes out with their list broken down by things like weather, what are each city's neighborhoods like, their landmarks, their airports, museums, pro sports teams, live music venues, restaurants, diversity, is it easy to get a job, what kind of jobs, and of course, is it affordable? And the other thing that they look at is whether it's the type of city that others want to visit. The last 2 days we've covered 15 through 6, including Madrid's colorful culture and nightlife, Barcelona's perfect weather and food, LA's little bit of everything options, Singapore's passion for the future, and Tokyo's everyman appeal. Today, we start at number 5, and that is Dubai. If you're into over-the-top, extreme, extra, living life on steroids, this is your spot. The tallest building, the tallest fountain, the largest aquarium, the richest horse race, the most visited mall on the planet. This is the town. This is the kind of town where, just giving you an example, where Kim Kardashian showed up and created total pandemonium. So if that doesn't tell you what the city's all about, I don't know what will. They want big, flashy, top, number one, the best of everything there in Dubai, and they're not afraid of showing it. Number 4, a bit surprising, frankly, because I would have thought if it's going to be in Russia, it's going to be St. Petersburg, but no, it's Moscow. And the reason, according to the experts, is the city's way of beguiling you the moment you arrive. Visitors often say they love the political intrigue aspect, and it's kind of an, you feel like you're a little on edge there. Ooh, you know, the spies, the KGB, ooh. But it's also the city's recent devotion to making itself more sexy, frankly. They're narrowing Stalin's streets for a more walkable, Instagrammable appeal. Moscow has some of the most educated people in the world, and it is the young demographic that has started feeling more secure in displaying their creativity in art and fashion and even cuisine. Mother Russia may not approve, but she clearly is looking the other way. Number 3, of course, please, New York City. So much of our appeal, believe it or not, is our New Yorkiness, according to the experts. We bitch, we gripe, we yell, but at the end of the day, we just get on with it. We know we've bottomed out when it comes to crime, but we still go out, maybe just a little more alert. We know how to roll with the punches, basically. We have some of the world's greatest museums and restaurants and a fascinating cornucopia of neighborhoods and cultures. People around the world often talk about the American dream. It's not Miami, it's not Hollywood. It's New York City. You love it because we tell you you have to love it. No, and because you do fall in love with it when you come here. And number 2 is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and it's one of my favorite cities in the world, Paris. You can be in a rough neighborhood, but it's still breathtaking because that's just Paris. Like many European cities, the French have done an amazing job of maintaining the integrity of their past. And everywhere there's a building or a mansion or a restaurant or a shop that's been sitting there for hundreds of years, getting more beautiful by the day. Leaders are laser focused on turning Paris green, and things like bike paths and new parks are planned for all over the city. The thing I personally think that adds most to Paris's mystique is its unapologetic focus on itself and its past. The royals, the palaces and everything, the nobility, landmarks, they're everywhere. You don't have to go to the Louvre, really. You can just walk with your smartphone. You see a structure, or you see an address, or you see something. You just, Google Translate or look it up, and you've got your own self-guided tour. There's just so much history to see there. And finally, I really can't disagree with this one. I mean, I would put others in the same category, but I do think London is quite exceptional, and that is why it has come in number one several years in a row. The parks, the palaces, the real-life royals, and their amazing refusal to change, it's all part of London's charm. One thing that stands out is that its history really seems to be intriguing to everyone around the world. And, you know, the fact that they're still devoted to their queen is one of the things I think that's helped draw millions of tourists every year. I mean, I know. Like New York, London, there's always a huge show or a concert or a festival or event happening, no matter which direction you look. Plus, I mean, the accents. Come on. Anyway, that's it for your Jet Set Julia travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. Frank is
standing. They had my volume down, but it's back up. 5:45, let's get a look at sports with the one and only Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. And here we go. Let's see what's happening in the wide world of sports. Giancarlo Stanton hit a three-run home run. Aaron Judge homered and drove in two runs. And the Yankees extended their lead atop the AL wildcard standings by beating Toronto 7-2. Gio Urshela added a solo homer, and Anthony Rizzo had a pair of hits that drove in a run as New York won its seventh straight and moved two games in front of Boston in the wildcard race after the Red Sox lost 4-2 at Baltimore. Toronto dropped three games behind the Yankees, but remains a game behind Boston for the second wild card. Stanton becomes the first Yankees player with 13 or more RBIs in a four-game span in September since Paul O'Neill did it in 1999. It's also the most RBIs in any four-game span for Stanton in his 12-year career. Over to Queens now, Noah Syndergaard looked sharp in his brief but long-awaited return from Tommy John surgery, and the Mets beat the Miami Marlins 2-1 in nine innings for a doubleheader sweep. Javier Baez dashed home from third base with the winning run in extra innings as reliever Anthony Bass fumbled James McCann's slow bouncer. In the opening, Francisco Lindor homered and drove in three runs to help the Mets stop a five-game losing streak with a 5-2 victory. Syndergaard started the nightcap for the New York, firing his first major league pitch in 2 years and finally completing a delayed comeback. He struck out his first two batters in a perfect inning, throwing 9 of 10 pitches for strikes. And that's your 77 seconds of sports. I'm thinking of doing the overnights. I'm Matt Sapienza. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.
Were those that 77 seconds?
Definitely not.
It's supposed to be 2 minutes, Matt. No, I'm just kidding.
Some days there are more games than others. What can you do? The stories you'll be talking about all day. North Korea claims it has test-fired what it calls a new hypersonic missile. State media reported the missile fired yesterday is one of the five most important new weapon systems in the country's five-year military development plan. Reports referred to the missile as a strategic weapon, which is how the reclusive communist state usually describes weapons with nuclear capabilities. The launch is North Korea's third this month.
Yeah, and the parents of a Marine jailed for criticizing the Afghanistan pullout ripped General Mark Milley and Secretary Lloyd Austin on the air last night. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller's parents say the two should resign. They're talking about Mark Milley and Secretary Lloyd Austin, accusing them of breaking the chain of trust with the American people.
More than 200 migrants being released from a Texas jail. The move comes weeks after they were detained under a controversial border enforcement operation authorized by the Texas governor, Greg Abbott.
What else do we have going on in the world today?
All right. Well, Frank? As we've been talking about, today's a big day, not just for Joe Biden, but for Britney Spears. That's because a hearing is set for later today to talk about removing her father as conservator and possibly talk about ending the legal guardianship altogether.
Yeah.
The pop star is not scheduled to speak, but that hasn't stopped her from speaking at other court appearances. Earlier this week, her attorney filed a supplemental motion to remove her father, Jamie Spears, from his daughter's conservatorship no later than today. TMZ reporting Jamie also fired back, saying the person that they've tapped to replace him is unfit to do so.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, he reportedly is accused of spying on her, putting actual listening devices in her room. Her bedroom over the course of years, according to somebody from her security team that said that they were on the security team. They said this has gone too far. So it's basically a whistleblower. So if this father is spying on his daughter's own bedroom, that's pretty disgusting and pretty sick.
It would seem to be disqualifying, you would think,
yeah.
Right?
Also, congratulations to George W. Bush's daughter, Barbara, and her husband, Craig Coyne. They are parents to a newborn daughter, Cora Georgia.
Oh, well, that is nice.
So congratulations to them.
All right.
Let's do one more thing, shall we? Congratulations also to, you're going to love this, to MMA star Ronda Rousey and her husband and whoever can pronounce their new baby daughter's name. The 34-year-old and her MMA fighter husband, Travis Brown, announced the news this week in an Instagram post. The two have been married since 27. This is their first child together. Her name is La Akea Maka La Pua Oka Lanipo Brown.
Just try and say that three times.
La Akea Maka La Pua Oka Lanipo Brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, kids all over are counting down to go trick-or-treating. So that, what's this year's favorite Halloween candy? Probably no surprise, it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. CandyStore.com is out with its new list showing the nation loves the chocolate and peanut butter combination. It's also the winner in six states, including California, Kansas, and Florida. In a state breakdown, the candy tied with Sour Patch Kids and Starburst. They were followed by M&M's in five states, including Oregon, Iowa, and New Hampshire. What's your favorite, Juliet?
I like Blow Pops. I don't understand how that is not the number one thing on the number one item.
Well, Halloween spending this year is expected to total more than $10 billion this year.
Halloween is my favorite holiday. I love it. I mean, I love Christmas, obviously. That's amazing. But I really get into Halloween every year. We'll be in Venice for Halloween this year. And they don't really dress up there. I mean, they're starting to, and there are some people, younger people, who do it. But I will be going in a full Venetian carnival costume.
Well, and you know, very suspenseful and at times frightening film, Hannibal, is filmed right there in Venice. So it might be fun for Halloween this year if you watch Hannibal, and then while you're in Venice, you could see the very sights of people being disemboweled in the Venetian Square. And so
I didn't know that. I didn't know Hannibal took place in Venice.
Well, a big portion of it, yeah.
You're kidding me.
When I was there last year, you could see very clearly, they do a great job depicting all the a lot of the key landmarks there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no,
wow.
Absolutely.
Wait, and you were in Venice last year?
I was, yeah.
How did you not tell me this?
I have. I think you forgot. But that's
well, that
okay.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. No, I was there with Joe Piscopo and Arthur Idala. We had a great time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wish I would have known.
If you want to really be informed and entertained, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show coming up at 6 o'clock. For the next 4 hours, you'll get to hear Congressman Peter King. A lot of analysis of the New York Yankees as they make their run for the playoffs. And as Sid Rosenberg told me off air, all the stupid politics stuff that people may want to hear about. So
all the
you can
stupid
hear that
politics
as well.
Stuff. Yes. I'm so sick of it. God, I have dreams about it now. I'm so sick of it.
The Bernie and Sid show is next. Juliet and I will be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, guys.